We already know the trend towards dual-income families over the past few decades has improved household prosperity. And working women are now playing an increasing role in wealth generation. More than 500,000, or one in four Australian households, in fact, now have a female as their major breadwinner. The changing shape and income levels of Australian families is detailed in a report called Modern Family. It's produced by the National Centre for Social and Economic Modelling, or NATSEM, in conjunction with the financial services group AMP. NATSEM economist Rebecca Cassells is a lead author of the report, and she joins us now from Melbourne. Rebecca, thanks very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
More households than ever before now have a woman as the major breadwinner. Why?
Well, it's an interesting finding. I think we know that many more women are becoming educated, and that it's a case of necessity but also desire for women. So we know that even to enter the house market and to stay in the housing market, you do need you need two incomes to afford home ownership in a lot of Australian cities and areas. But also women they're gaining skills, they're highly educated. Many more women go on to university than men, so it makes sense that women are there earning money as well, and in some cases they can earn higher wages than their partner.
Yeah, but the education factor, how does that fit with the finding, as I read it anyway, that families on lower incomes are more reliant on female breadwinners?
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Because presumably if you're getting educated, you're have the capacity to move up in the income scales.
Yeah, that makes sense. Look, we do find that across the income distribution, there are female breadwinners, in every sort of component of the income distribution. So, in every occupation or industry sector. So, we do know that it is in the lower income. It's higher in the lower income households, and there's reasons for that. And one of the reasons is actually to do with the industries that women work in, and that they're often have a minimum wage associated with that, and that they're going to be having their earnings increase at a higher rate than the male partners. But across the income distribution...
Can I just stay with that for a little longer, because I'm not quite clear on that. So women might be working in a number of areas where they're earning the minimum wage, and that goes up every year pretty much. But why does that suggest that they're more likely to have a higher income than the male in the unit?
Well, it depends on the industries that they're working in. And so if they're working in industries that are covered by the, an enterprise bargaining agreement or collective bargaining agreement, then they're more likely to have wage rates increase. But also they're more likely to work in industries that are protected. So we know that men usually work in industries. So the occupation and industry sector in Australia is highly segregated. So men more likely to work in industries that are more exposed
like
to economic downturns. Well, like construction and mining and manufacturing, but manufacturing is on the decline. But we know that over the years, and particularly during the GFC, the amount of female breadwinner families actually increased. So women picked up the slack, and a lot of that's to do with less exposure to economic downturns because of the industries that they work in. But if we look at it across the age distribution, we can see that younger households, females in younger households, are more likely to be female breadwinners, and then it dips. So as the females get older and reach their childbearing and rearing years, of course we see lower proportions of them as female breadwinners. And then as they sort of move out of that into their 40s and 50s, we see that increase again, where we've got a higher proportion of female breadwinners. So I think in the years to come, we're probably likely to see this trend increase, especially as the younger generation comes through. We've got about 100,000 more young women in university than men. So as these women come through and start earning, then the decisions that they make around who goes out and to earn the dollars and who stays home and looks after the kid, the children, I think that's going to be something that households really talk about, and probably it's not going to be the norm that the man goes out and works and that the woman stays at home. And indeed it may be the case that the woman is able to earn more money in the labour force than the man, so we might see more men, and we are seeing the patterns of more men staying home and looking after children, so we might see that increase in years to come.
Yeah, there are, when you look across the whole report, you can see a changing shape, I suppose, of the Australian family. The study does find a big jump in the proportion of families with both parents working, up from 40% in the 80s to nearly 60% today, and that's pretty significant. What about the relationships within the family unit? What about traditional marriage, if we can call it that, between a man and a woman? Is that on the decline in this country, or couples re-embracing the notion of marriage?
No, it's definitely on the decline. So we're seeing that the marriage rate has decreased from around, I think it was around 6.6 marriages per 1,000 people in the 80s, and that's decreased to around 5.5. Now, that's not to say people aren't getting together, but they're just not getting together in the traditional, more formal sense. So a lot of people are becoming couples, but they're not signing a marriage certificate, and they're in a de facto status. But if we compare it, Australia to similar countries like the United Kingdom and Canada, then and even places like France and Germany, then our marriage rate is actually higher than these other countries, but of course lower than the United States, where marriage is the norm. But also in the United States, the divorce rate's higher because more people get married.
And there's a debate in this country at the moment over same-sex marriage, passage of the laws in the ACT yesterday. Perhaps not surprisingly, given the more tolerant attitude you register here from Australians towards same-sex marriage, there's been a significant increase in the number of same-sex couples. Is that simply because people feel more open to acknowledging that?
Yeah, I think there's a exactly. I mean, in 2001 in the census, we had I think just under 20,000, and now it's increased to around 40,000 couples, same-sex couples. So that big increase is not related to just a shift in people more likely to be in same-sex couple families, but really their ease and comfort in being able to disclose that they're in that same-sex couple relationship. And I think Australia is becoming a more accepting society, and we're definitely seeing that in the support for same-sex equality. I mean, some of the figures that we've been looking at is, and it's actually looking at the same people over time. So they're being asked a question, do you support equal rights for homosexual couples, the same rights as what heterosexual couples receive, and asking the same people in different time periods, we're seeing that they're actually changing their minds, and there's a lot more support within generations than there were years ago. So okay. Even the older generations.
And just briefly on that, and finally, how many households are included?
In the survey that we're looking at, of course, the census, it's every household.
Yep.
So if we're looking at same-sex, but looking at the attitudes, there's over 10,000 people in the sample that we're looking at.
Okay, Rebecca, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Rebecca Cassells is economist with NatSem, principal researcher and lead author of this report, with some really interesting findings, including the finding that blended and step families are financially worse off, and that families with female breadwinners, Tasmania has the most of them, 35% compared to 22%.